think a number of times I've said that one of my great loves has been, it's in the past tense, I've not done it for a while, going up remote mountains in Scotland. And I've loved that in the past. I've not done it for a while. I've done little hills at the moment, but not big mountains. But one of the things that I remember very much is going up a mountain in Arndt and Mull called Ben Mor. And it's the highest mountain there. It's a Munro. It's over 3,000 feet. And going up it, there is a really, really painful false summit. And what I mean by that is, you look at it and you think it's the top, but it's not. And I remember the first time I did it, I think I was a young teenager, and I was going up it thinking, well, this is not so bad. I'm going to get to the top and I'll be just about okay. And then the person who was leading the party said, that's not it. That's not it. And when you get to this false summit, you realize it's not it. There's another quite significant summit you've got to get up. And you've got to go down and then back up. And it's a bit of a trick of the eye. And false summits really can, when you do a lot of mountain walking, can be quite, it can be disheartening at times. It can be disheartening. You think you're going to the top, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. And if there's one little phrase to sum up our reading this evening as we start this new series of Acts, it's we're not there yet. It looked like we could have been, but we're not there yet. And it's really important to understand that. And it took the disciples some time to understand that we're not there yet. Well, what I mean by there, I mean at the end. So if you turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see that in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. And the way that phrase is done, began, is that there's a sense here, I'm now writing a book about the continuing work of Jesus. And so the way that Luke is writing it, he's got his gospel, which is about Jesus' ministry, but now it's the continuing ministry of Jesus. And of course, it's going to be through the Holy Spirit and the apostles, and we'll see that as we go through Acts. But it's really important to see that Jesus' ministry has not come to an end suddenly, and now there's a new thing with the Holy Spirit. It is the continuing ministry of Jesus. And someone unhelpfully said that really what Acts should be called is the continuing words and deeds of Jesus by his Spirit through his apostles. That's a bit of a mouthful, so we'll stick with Acts, really. And it's really important because there is a continuity which to understand what's going on in Acts is really, really important. So when we come to this section, there are three things about the end that we need to understand, because it does talk about the end, but it talks about it in helpful terms for us who are living 2,000 years, well, just over 2,000 years after these events. So the first thing is there are signs of the end. There are signs of the end. Look at verses 3 to 5. Jesus presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so what you see there are signs of the end. Because, I mean, great things have happened. Suddenly, Jesus has risen from the dead. Death has been defeated. And in the Old Testament, one of the great signs of the end of the fullness of God's kingdom is death being finished with and being defeated. And it's been defeated. Jesus has come back from the dead. He's risen from the dead. And that's really kind of one of the big, big signs of the end. And so when they come to verse 6, the disciples saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Which in their terms means, is this it now? You're going to set the kingdom up? Jesus says, no. It's not a silly question. It's not a silly question. Because death has been defeated. The kingdom could now come in. And this could be the end. And what Jesus says is, no, it's not. What does he say? No, It's not for you to know the times or seasons. You'll receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the whole of the earth. There is more to do. There is further to go. This is what you might call, I don't like to use the phrase, false summit, but it's like that. You know, these are heights, great heights, the resurrection, but there's more to do, and you've got to understand what there is to do. And all the way through, Luke's gospel has been about restoration of Israel, the restoration of God's people, and the resurrection is seen as a sign that that's coming to a completion. But no, there is more. No, it's not the end. You've got to go to the ends of the earth. It's worth just turning to Isaiah 49, verse 6, in the church Bibles. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And it's page 737. Thank you. 737. Not an aircraft to take at the moment. Boeing 737. so I just. Anyway, chapter 49, verse 6. And what does it say? Is it a too small a thing for you to be my servant? Think about the servant of God who's coming, the Messiah, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Always, through the Old Testament, has been this promise that, of course, what God wants is for his people to include all nations. And to you and me, that's things, well, yeah, that's obvious, isn't it? It wasn't obvious then. They had to learn that it was about all nations. And it took quite a bit of Acts for them to come to that realization. And it's not just that bit in Isaiah. There are other wonderful prophecies about, in the Old Testament, about how God's going to encompass all of humanity. And so it's worth, in your Bibles again, just going on to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And you may think, well, hang on, they've got the Holy Spirit, they should be very wise, they should know. It's not until Acts 15 that the penny drops. The penny drops. Acts 15, and look at this, look at verse 14. Simon, look at verse 14, has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. Now, that's a very important verse, because originally God's people were just part of the nations, but he called a section of Gentiles and made them Israel over a number of years. And so the words of the prophets are in agreement with this. Look at this. Verse 16, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I'll restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name. Now it's really important to us understand that it's not until this chapter that the disciples themselves, the apostles, the penny dropped and thought, this is for all people. That the Gentiles, who kind of in Israelite way they treated Gentiles in the temple, was to keep them outside the holy place, they are loved by God, and Jesus died for them as well. And they had to learn that. So when we go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will see that the disciples think it's the end. But it was never going to be the end with God's scope of his plan, as we've just seen from Isaiah, I think. And so you go back to verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so you do see that now, that that just fits in with God's plan, and the disciples are on catch-up mode. That's why the beginning of Acts is so important to understand. This continuing ministry of Jesus to fulfill the promises that God's always had, that the whole of the earth is included in his salvation. For those who want to choose that. And that's really important to understand. And the disciples were on catch-up mode. So there are signs of the end. Definitely Jesus rising from the dead, big sign of the end, but it's not yet. Because the second thing is, we must work until the end. And notice what the Holy Spirit's given for, to be witnesses. I don't want to get myself into trouble here, but I might do. Because the problem is that in the West, if we're not careful, we have taken the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be quite kind of us-centered. So we talk about my peace, my joy. Don't get me wrong, I'm into peace, I'm into joy, and it's part of being a Christian. But if we're not careful, we'll be quite consumerist in the way we talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry. And we talk about my gifts, the things that the Holy Spirit gives me. The context here is that you're going out into the world, you're going to be my witnesses, and you need power. You need power to be there for me. So primarily, the Holy Spirit's ministry is to be Jesus-centered for you to make him real for people that you live amongst. It's not for you to go into a little corner and think, great, I've got all this wonderful stuff from the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to enjoy. It's like Christmas all over again. No, it's actually for you to witness in his name. And so, yes, he gives strength. He gives peace. But when did they feel peace? When they were in jail. When Paul was being flogged again or shipwrecked. When they were languishing in some dreadful jail. Paul writes his letters talking about rejoice, the peace of God guarding his heart. It's all when they're at the end of their tether, at the end of their own resources, that they're able to do it. And I think so often, if we're not careful, and I count myself in this, I'm not sort of, talking about other people, talking about myself, is that we can just view the ministry of the Holy Spirit as something just to add to our comfort and life of great comfort. No, it's there for being on the front line. His ministry is there to be on the front line. The apostles faced huge dangers, massive opposition, and the Holy Spirit empowered them to be witnesses in it. And that's what we're going to see when we look at Acts. We're going to see that in Acts. Of course there's peace, joy, gifting, but it's to witness to Jesus. So we must be careful we don't take, treat our discipleship as some kind of consumerist thing, like a spiritual buffet, where we just sort of like to pick out these lovely things that we want. It's not like, I wish it was. It may be in heaven, I don't know. But it certainly shouldn't be now. So strictly speaking, the Holy Spirit is to empower you to be a witness. So yes, it's not the end. There is work to be done. And we're witnesses to the Jesus, that Jesus Christ has come into our hearts and lives. And you and I bear witness to what's happened to us. And then thirdly, and briefly, there will be an end. Yes, there are signs of the end. It's not yet. There is still work to be done. But finally, there will be an end. Look at verses 9 to 11. Jesus taken up in a cloud, which hid him. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. I love this bit. When suddenly two men dressed in white said, "What are you doing?" Just staring there. And that's some people's attitude to sort of think about Jesus' second coming. Just sort of stand around gazing, waiting. It's like waiting at a bus stop. It's not waiting at a bus stop. We should be. He says, look, the same Jesus being taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. There will be an end, but it's not yet. Go and be my witnesses. Go back. Go back and witness for him. And it's really important because, so often, if you're not careful, you'll have groups of Christians who will go off to the top of a mountain to wait for Jesus, or they'll go to a special place, we've had so many prophecies recently from obscure groups saying it's going to be the end of the world, and we've gone off into the little forest, or we've gone into a secret place to wait for him, and of course it doesn't happen. No, What we're supposed to do is not gaze up and just be navel gazing or sky gazing, but to go back in the power of the Spirit to witness for Jesus, to be witnesses for him. And that will put us on the front line. That does put us on the front line. And that's what the rest of Acts is about, is to encourage us in bearing witness to Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. What does that mean practically in our everyday lives? Well, I do think the rest of Acts helps us in that. It does. I mean, some things are very culturally bound, but for us, I think it's going to be very helpful to understand how that happens. And that's what this series is about, to understand how we bear witness in the power of the Spirit to Jesus. So here we are. It's about the continuing ministry of Jesus. You know, it's not the end, but there's work to be done. But there is an end in sight one day. And that is what Acts is all about. As we sit, let's pray.